Okay. I got music. We're getting everything else all connected up here. I think I've got all that going on. There we go. Okay, it takes a minute. I've got a lot of buttons to push nowadays. You should be ready to go there, Mr. Fish.
Okay.
Fish and Frank here, another Radio Fishing, and Captain Tom Fisher with us. And what's going on, Captain Tom?
Well, boy, it's we're getting ready to get in some change, it looks like, here in the next few days.
Okay, go ahead.
We got weather-wise. Offshore's been really good. We're doing a lot of snapper, grouper, offshore. But, in inland, you got your redfish. Snooker kind of panning out right now, getting back to their haunts. Water's so hot in the back bays that they really don't want to go deep.
Almost missed that rain and cloud cover that we had. You know what I mean?
Right.
As nasty as that weather was, boy, the water cooled down nice and brought everything around. And that sun's had time to cook it up again.
Oh, it's hot.
But
it's hot in the back bays.
Well,
we got
a tropical storm coming our way, or a hurricane or something. Maybe that'll cool things down again.
That's a lot of change that I was getting ready to talk about. You know, you're going to have some great bites in front of it and behind it.
I would say this week things are going to get better and better and better, because it's due here, what, the end of the week, beginning of next week, something
I
like
believe,
that?
Yeah, I believe we're going to start seeing some weather probably somewhere as early as maybe tomorrow, that's Thursday afternoon.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be that close.
I believe it's just going to be the wind changing and picking up, getting a little push. I think Saturday is supposed to be in the Bahamas. So
if it's in the Bahamas by Saturday, that'll give us that drop in pressure,
yep.
And that's going to trigger the feed. So we're going to start looking for the fishing to pick up Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
First next week, the weekend, first next week. Is
while that temperature's all, or while the barometric pressure, if I can get my meteorological to get to terms all together, but the barometric pressure, as it starts falling here in the next few days, it's going to trigger a massive bite.
Absolutely.
And we're not in any danger from a hurricane, so it's going to be nothing but good, and they need the rain in parts of Florida.
Sure, absolutely. Well, and that's one of the main reasons I came in here today to get up here with you. If this is probably going to be, you know how they have certain times of watch the sky for meteors and whatnot.
Right.
This is the time that you want to throw artificial. Fly fishing, artificial is going to be fantastic. It's already good, but I mean, it's going to be pretty much the bait of choice.
All right. So we're talking about artificial lures and flies. Let's start off with what flies you like.
Well, I always throw a deceiver. I always, you can't go wrong with a deceiver.
Okay.
I match the hatch. So
what's your color pattern?
I use a lot of flash, a lot of either silver or gold flash, and then I use a wider bait with some chartreuse strung through it.
Cool.
And I use top water
now,
and bottom,
So you're using the slow sinking and ones that just hang right at the surface.
Exactly, yep.
Now, what's your favorite weight fly rod?
Well, the do-all for me is 9 weight. But, we get down.
I'm more of a 7-8 weight guy myself.
Well, we like, if you have a 9 weight on there, you can get a tarpon. You can go for,
No, I get it. But that's like a 10 to 25 spinning rod.
Sure.
Or 10 to 20 anyway. That's
sure.
A little heavier action. I'm usually fishing a 6 to 14.
Sure, sure.
So,
well, we got a lot of big reds in right now from your bar reds. And they're 30 to 38 inches. So.
But bar red, fear me when I get a 6 to 12 weight rod or a 6 to 14. Because they know we're going to have lots of fun together.
Yes.
It ain't going to happen fast.
Exactly.
You ain't going to be quick. You ain't gonna like it, Mr. Redfish.
Yeah, that's we burn them up. This is just gonna be a great time. We've been using it for a week or so, and it's been good. But due to this pressure dropping, and due to this front storm front coming in, and behind it even,
now,
it's just gonna be.
Before we get to that, because don't forget, I wanna cover that because it's a really interesting part of it. The barometric pressure drop. Right before a storm hits, we see it every afternoon in the summer. Right before a storm hit, you get that big burst of bite if we've got a good sized storm coming, and especially when you get a major front now. And the fronts have become more and more important here over the next starting usually in September is when we start seeing fronts hit us.
Sure.
and getting out there right before that front to get on that big bite and have that trip that you remember the rest of your life. I mean, you'd be laying there 140 years old in bed all crippled up going, oh yeah, remember that storefront? We got 40 snook that day, you know?
Exactly.
But jumping back into the lures, you're talking about a deceiver on the fly using lots of silver or gold, and are you using a black or greenback?
Because
with the deceiver, you have your hook, your little eyeballs, and then you've got that nice bulky hair on the back, and then you're using the silver or gold colors across the belly. Are you using what kind of color are you doing on the back?
More of a gray to a darker green.
Okay.
So I don't want to get it dark. I don't want it to be black or red. You know, I stay away from the blacks and the reds.
Okay.
And I'm using more of the ghosty color. More of the ghosty color and the and white.
Okay. Now, with that, I'm gonna just
kind of like a dirty blonde. You know, yeah.
I'm gonna hang two microphones at you. That way you could kind of just sit between the two of them. You don't have to look anywhere special.
Okay.
All right. excuse me. Going back now, we've been talking about the flies you like. Are you slow stripping them, quick running them?
Well, and I'm starting them out. It depends on how you're fishing and where you're fishing, of course. If you do go get bait, you know, and you try to throw out some chummers to get them going, I work a little faster because they're chasing.
Right.
And the water's hot, metabolisms are up. You know, their activity is fast right now with the water temperatures. So I'm actually, and which is, you know, it's really kind of like the wrong thing to say to go fast, because the rule of thumb, 100% with artificial and flies, is slow. And the slower you use it, the better action you get and more you use it.
Right.
But in a certain situation, you need to go faster. You know, you need to let it look like a darting bait, you know, getting away from the pod. So
now, when I was fly fishing quite a bit there and doing a lot of the backwater salt fishing, if somebody blew up on chum, I'm sitting in my rod waiting, and it's a very quick cast. I can't take two shots. I got to come back with it and come forward with it and try and get as close to that boil as I can once it hits the water. And then I give about a 2-foot pull of the line, a real quick 2-foot, to
get the attention. It's a reaction bite.
I want it to splash in the water. I'll count 1 to 2, and then I give a good quick pull on it, and then pause for a second, and another good quick pull, kind of like a bait getting away from a fish and then stopping to see if it's still chasing them.
Sure. Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I kind of like to go fast like that to make it look like that, especially if you're throwing up boils, because his buddy just got ate, so right. He's getting away. So you just gotta do it. Now, I always like to go slow, and if it's not working what you're doing, you start super slow. You just go back to being super slow and getting a lot of twitching, a lot of bumping, and then you can always speed it up.
Okay, now getting into the artificial category, what's your favorite artificials? You love throwing lures. I mean, yeah, I've bought whole lines of lures because you like them.
Exactly. This is a great time of year, and with these fronts and stuff coming on, that if you want to get...
Oh, have you seen the newer Apollo? Oh, you haven't seen it yet, Tom.
Yeah, I have not.
Oh, you got to see this. You're going to be in love with this thing. It's a balsa wood lure. It's exactly the size you like. Gorgeous colors. Sold out of one of the two that you're gonna buy 10 dozen of, without a doubt. But you got to see this. I'll show you when we get done with the show here. I'll walk out and grab some and show it to you. It's literally an amazing plug. You're gonna just, it kind of reminds you of, you'll see it. It's like your favorite lure, only way better. I mean, this is the coolest lure. Now, it's a little more expensive, but what's your favorite plugs right now?
Well, you know, I've always stay with my three. But I try everything and use everything, and you always go to what's working the best. But back up for a second. Right now, between now and probably for the next 2 weeks, it's probably going to be, if you ever want to get anybody hooked on topwater, if you ever want to show them how the boils and the fish chase it and they come to it and they bust it, and just the fun of watching your bait the whole time, so you get to see it instead of versus not knowing what's doing under the water, This is top water is going to be, I believe, the most effective throughout the whole days for like the next 2 weeks. And I'm using top water now, a lot of it. And my best, what I use a few top waters. I actually have a realm of top waters I use because I like to throw top water so much.
Let's pick one.
Okay.
Come on.
If everybody, I had to go with something
sitting
that
here
night.
And you're explaining you love top waters. But you know, nobody can see the grin on your face, the glint in your eye, the tremor in your hand. Let's get down with one.
Well, here's the thing. It really depends on what you're doing at the time. And I don't commit, and I think that's why I have so much success with artificial is because I don't
give me
have
four.
A
silver. Give me four. Name four off the top of your head, quick.
You got skitter walk, which is what go-to bait right now. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then you got your zipping ziggies, and you have your mirror lures. And the mirror lures, I'm using the top water or the real light suspended ones, which are the smaller ones because they float better. And then there, I'll go back to that. There's a problem with the zipping ziggy and the smaller. But I got mirror lures, and I use three different colors of each of those.
Okay.
And I kind of stick with that. And then I also use the Rupala.
All right. Right now, what would be your color choice?
I've just been really getting on the
This is getting
redfish.
Blood out of a captain, by the way, guys. He's sitting here. He's wincing in pain. I'm trying to get out what color he wants. His veins are open. He's bleeding on the floor. He's dying inside.
I'm using, honestly, on my boat, I'm using the pinfish pattern, skitter walk.
Cool.
And it's just tearing them up. And let me jump back for a second. And there's different sizes in the skitter walk. There's different sizes in zip and ziggies. There's different sizes in every.
I only carry one in the zip and ziggy.
Right. But there is. And then you have in the Rapala and the mirror lure, both, you know, you have different sizes, you know, the larger and smaller weight and stuff. I find that if I'm fishing the woods, which I'm not doing very much of, but if I am fishing the woods or around the mangroves, I will use a zip and ziggy. I will use the smaller skitter wall. I'll use the smaller top waters because now you're going to, your snook action and the redfish that you're hitting aren't as aggressive as your schooling fish. If you throw the smaller, like the zip and ziggies size into the schools of redfish, I'm finding they're swallowing it more, and you're getting the whole thing. They're eating it. They're getting down to the crusher, so it's not good for the fish and the environment. So I use a skitter walk, which is a bigger one, and then now you're getting them in the lips, and you're getting it to where you're not really hurting the fish as much, where you can get it out easier.
Well, fish is made to be poked.
Of course, they eat bones every day for a living, and crabs and everything.
They eat live blue crabs. They eat stingrays. They eat catfish.
Exactly.
And the hook coming in and out is no more than a moment in the day for them.
But I don't want to bury it into the gullets and the crushers and things like that with a smaller bait. So I'm using a bigger bait, and they're still hitting it. I mean, they're hitting it just as aggressive, if not more.
But that's the cool part about it is understanding that up against the mangroves, you're going to need that smaller bait just to get the strike activated. They're not going to be as aggressive. But once you get out closer to the potholes, the sandbar, where you've got fish bunched up and more of a competition for the food rather than one or two single fish here and a single fish there where he's not in competition mode. So once they're out in those schools, they're more competitive mode. They want to strike after stuff, and they're going to hit it more aggressively. So using a larger bait will prevent them from swallowing it and doing damage to the fish.
Exactly.
Because on the outside, where we were just talking about around the lips and all that, it's literally made to be torn and healed and torn and healed rapidly because of their natural prey.
Sure.
So
exactly.
What you're trying to do is avoid damage to the fish.
Sure.
And all I wanted to do is let people know that even though we're doing damage to the mouth of the fish, it's damage that it's kind of like they were built for that.
Sure.
That's the whole tissue membrane and all that. That's why I don't use barbs on sharks because they are not built for it.
Right.
But a snook, redfish, and all them, they really are kind of made for that puncture wound.
Sure. Exactly. Around the, they're eating crabs and and pulling everything over. Yeah. Everything's sticky in the water, so.
Everything, you know, I mean, let's face it, if I'm little, I'm going to try and have something on me to keep something bigger from eating me.
Exactly.
And it's going to be a stinger, a venom, a spike or something.
Sure.
So the fish are kind of used to that. But now, we broke it down. You got a skitter walk, which they're a great bait, and the zip and ziggy, let's see.
I also use
mirror lure top dog and
Strike King.
And this Strike King?
Strike King.
Oh, the Storm Twitch.
Storm Twitch.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from the Storm Twitch.
Storm Twitch, that's what, yes. That's
yeah,
what.
The Storm Twitch. It's, I knew which one you were talking about. When Tom comes in, he goes, give me my lure. We know which one he wants. The biggest thing you got by utilizing the different types of topwater bait is the different types of sound and presence they make as they're coming across the surface of the water. And a lot of people, when they're picking up topwaters, are trying to go by the look and all the rest of that stuff. But hold it, and then don't shake it violently, but kind of push your hand forward and backwards, kind of in a tick-tock motion. See what the rattles inside are going to sound like. Because you're going to find a mirror lure top dog or a top pup is going to have a very deep thack, 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 thack sound. And like a Zara Spook is more of a much higher pitch tone. Smaller BB, smaller rattles. Each one of them has their own particular sound that it makes as it comes through the water, in addition to the splashing of the lure.
Absolutely.
Now, one you're going to have to try is the Livingston. It's got that battery sound maker in it.
Oh, okay.
I've got a regular Leica Zara Spook style walk the dog, like the ones that you like to use. And then there's also a jitterbug pattern, but in a long pattern. You know how jitterbug has that curved face, and you know, you just slowly reel them across? This could be something really cool for us.
Okay.
Or it could be complete garbage. I have no idea yet.
We'll put it on the boat and figure it out.
Well, you have to look at them. But these things actually have a battery and electronics in them that emit sound. And as soon as it hits the water, 5 seconds or 3 seconds later, it engages the electronics and it makes noise. Now, I'm deaf, so I've never actually been able to hear it. I've lost up at the Deepwater Horizon at the oil spill. I lost like 70% in one ear and 40% in the other ear. So I have a real hard time with that pitch that it's at. But other people can hear it. So
okay, so it is making noise.
Yeah, and if humans can hear it, imagine how much a fish could hear it.
Oh, that's sound travels fast in the water.
Five times faster than it does in air. So, you know, one of these days I'm going to find a swimming pool, throw one of them in the water, get out of water so I can actually hear the darn thing. So, but it's, I'm not saying it's going to be a great lure because I don't know.
Right.
But it is worth investigating.
Okay.
You know,
I can tell you,
it's too expensive to use for charters.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
No, no. That's too expensive. I mean, it would be something I would use on a tournament day or personal day, but I would not take it out taking people on a charter. I would have to say, okay, I'll buy the first one. Everyone after that is on you. You know, I used to do that when I was doing snook trips at night. I would bring three or four lures for them, and I'd say, okay, here's your lures, here's yours, and here's yours. Once you lose these, they're $8 a piece after that. You know, this is on your nickel after this. These are the ones I'm giving you for this trip, and it all built into the price of the charter. But after that, you're paying for them.
You can't go out and lose 10, 15 plugs.
Well, if you got three or four guys in the boat, each losing 10 plugs, I mean, that's all the profit from the trip.
That's
so
it. That's
you know
it.
They were having fun. If they want to keep having fun, you know, okay, cough it up. You know, so
now also you get into your plastics, and I'm using most of my plastics. I'm not really using plastics that much right now, but if you are, you're probably going to be using them on the schools. And but the thing is, the schools tear them up so fast. You go through a bag of. So if you're using gulps, you go through a bag of gulps, or if you're using whatever, you know, artificial you like, you're going through so many of the plastics that
I'm going to say right now, the Little John and the Z-Man are probably the two best ones for the schooling bait, because the Little John, there's no reason for it. Nobody knows why it catches fish. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's just a little pinched out thing. You know, okay, yeah, there it goes. Okay, yeah, I got a bait. It's just nothing to it. But the Z-Man, the jerk bait with the paddle on it,
sure.
More so than the other one. But I have no idea why either one of them are working. You know, they're not. I can understand the Z-Man. It's impregnated with scent and all that. But why the Little John continues to be on the top? It's
simple.
Yep, Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid.
That's it.
Make a nice, simple-looking bait that actually catches fish.
There you go.
You know, and so, yeah, those would be the two if I was going to go out with the plastics right now.
But now, when you get into plastics, or you get into your spoons, or you get into your divers, or anything like that, one, we're in really shallow water. You know, when you're on top of the reef, which is what you call a sandbar, you're in knee-deep water to 4 foot, and you can't see it. And yes, it's fun and it's effective, but now's the time to get to where you can watch the fish chase it, come up to it, whirl on it, miss it, whirl on it, miss it, you know, then finally commit to it and get it. And if he doesn't get it, you know, you get 4 or 5 strikes and you get to see it, and you learn not to use your eyes and your ears, and you learn to use the feel of the rod and the actual hit of the fish. I say, seeing the blow up and then setting the hook, and the hook comes past you.
Well,
so it slows you down, and this is a great time to learn how to artificial, because you get so many chances at it.
And it's the most complete way of fishing there is. It is better than fly fishing. It's better than mooching. It's better than cane poles. It's better than lures. It's better than bait. It's better than anything, because it's 100% experience. You throw it out there, and you have to work it correctly, or they're not going to hit it.
Exactly.
So you have to have the put in the time, patience, the talent to make it work. So your skills involved. Then number two is you see the strike.
Absolutely.
Visually, you get, oh my God, it's right there. You feel the hit, and then you get to fight the fish, and you know, full circle, either take it home and eat it, or release it in as good a condition as possible. But it's the most complete form of fishing. Everybody talks about all these forms of fishing, fly fishing, this, that, the next thing. I got to tell you, it does not hold a candle to top water.
Top water is a real deal. Now, we have flies. We have chug chugs, and we have top water flies, too.
It's a lure. It's a lure. Give me a break. It's not a fly. It's a lure on a different on a rod with a different kind of reel on it. It's still a top water lure.
You're right.
I mean, you can call them anything you want. They had to take that from the spin fishermen or the bait cast guys, because a regular fly can't compete.
Right.
So it's just a different way of throwing it out there. It's a lot more work with actual less results, but I love fly fishing, don't get me wrong, but, you know, only in the right circumstance.
Sure.
I don't blind cast fly rods anymore. I'm too old. I can flick my wrist with a spinning reel. And to me, once the fish is on, years ago when I was starting fly fishing, it was more of a challenge to land a fish on a fly rod because the rods were junk.
Yeah.
They were nasty. And the reels didn't have a drag on them. You were palming the reel to slow them down and cranking back. It was one-to-one with the fish. But the reels now, and fly reels, have such good drags. They're spinning reel.
Sure.
And spinning reels have as good a drag as bait casters. So, to me, a bait caster presents a lure, better topwater lures, jerk baits, stuff like that, better than a spinning rod. Spinning rod throws a light object better than or crankbait, stuff like that, better than a baitcaster does, and fly allow you to delicately present the lure. But once the fish is on, I don't see a difference anymore. Right. I really don't see, when I'm fighting the fish, the difference between a fly rod, a spinning rod, or a baitcaster. There is a light difference, but it's not a noticeable difference. When the fly rods were junky, you know, clumsy, and the reels were lousy, that was truly a difficult way to land a fish.
Sure.
But now with these drags and the fly reels, oh my God, they're better than some of the bait casters I've got.
It's like a different way of fishing, you know.
And it's all about presentation.
Sure.
And absolutely. To me, the thing I love about the fly rod is the presentation of it. I love being able to bring it back, lay it out there, get that perfect cast, lay it delicately in front of a fish and then make it come alive. Yeah. And to me, that's what it's about. And it's the same thing with a baitcaster or a spinning rod. I want to use each one for the what it should be used for. If I've got a school of spooky redfish on the middle of a calm flat, give me a fly rod every day. You know, because I can lay that in there, not spook the school, get it right where I want it, and it's perfect. But if I'm pitching a topwater, I want my baitcaster.
There you go.
You know, I don't want a fly rod for a topwater.
We use spin rods on my boat, and we're having great success with the topwater right now.
Well, you also take people fly fishing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
you do a lot of fly fishing during the course of the year.
We do probably 60 trips during a year.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're telling me you're using spinning reels. Now, I understand not using bait casters, because I don't care who you are. You're going to be checking that line for nicks and tears back about 75 yards into the spool every once in a while.
Absolutely.
But on... Although people can bring their own baitcast rod if they want to.
Yeah, bring any rod they want. Yeah, I always tell them, bring your favorite rod if you'd like to, and we'll get her rigged up for you and change it over. But,
all right, so getting back to this, you're saying now over this next few days, before the hurricane gets close to us, as the pressure drops, it's going to be spectacular. Now, what I want to find out is why afterwards? Is it once it hits, is it good, or is it after, better? Where does it come in?
Well, you know, and I've always said pretty much about everything, my philosophy is there's no certain reason. There's a pie, and everything has a piece of the pie, and that's what makes your pie, pieces of it. And there's a lot of pieces to before and after. But the reason I believe in the after part of it is the water's been stirred up. You've had a lot of fresh water introduced.
You're going to have winds.
Yes, you're going to have the winds. You know, the waves have been there for 3 days. And the same thing with us. While this is going on, we're not going out in our cars as much and going to many places. You're staying home where you're
not
staying
if you're
at
smart,
work.
Yeah.
Right, so you're not doing a bunch. And the fish are the same way. They're going to get where they're safe, where they feel comfortable at, and they're going to hold up. And as soon as that's done, what does everybody do? Everybody gets in their car, jumps out, goes, looks at things, sees what their town has, you know, even after rainstorm and thunderstorms. And the fish do the same thing. They come out of their comfortable haunts, and they go out, and they're hungry, and they go out looking for bait. They go out, check, see what's new. And the bottom's changed. With every storm, you get a bottom change. So they go out, and they just investigate their surroundings and their environment. So you're going to get a lot of fish moving. And that makes them move, and it also makes them group up, because when they all go to somewhere they're comfortable, it's not just one fish usually. You'll usually get a group of fish that like to go there. So the group will kind of come out and then start fanning back out and going where they were going.
So what you're looking for after the storm is to look for schools of redfish more so than a single fish here or there. What you're saying before the storm, the general bite is good, but after the storm, fish school up more.
Yeah, and they're moving together. You know, until they start fanning back out and going about their own business and their ways, and they do stay in schools. And this time of year is a big schooling time for our redfish. And our snook are coming off the beach, just coming back in. And so you just got a lot of schools moving.
Okay. Oh, sorry about that, boys and girls. I'm working.
I thought that was a cut music. I thought you were kicking me out.
No, I've actually got, there we go. Let's see how that came out. Give you an idea of what Sir Tom. That's not bad. Not bad for a quick shot. I knew if I tried to hold my hands, I've been back under the weather, and some thing went away for a few years, and now it's back. It's killing me again. But one of those things where you either live through it or you won't, you know? Media sync. Okay. I'm trying to get all this stuff together up here. I have no idea why. Don't ever buy an LG phone. I can tell you that right now. I have an LG phone here that absolutely makes me crazy. But I think that's interesting to figure out that you've got, before the storm, just kind of a general bite, whether it be in the mangroves or out by the bars. But after the storm, now, are we talking the day after, 2 days after?
Well, so
you got the storm hits.
Right.
Well, now, the bad weather's here. It's raining, thundering, windy. And then all of a sudden, all that's gone. Now, what's your general wait time?
Well, zero. I'll get out as soon as I possibly can, and I'll start fishing it just to make it last longer. But you know, your water's stirred up; it's murkier, so you can, you know, they're fooled by the bait easier. You can get away with a bigger and a thicker leader, a heavier weight leader, due to the water's darker. And you find that they're just traveling around and they're hungry. It just seems like they're hungry. They want to eat before the storm to you know, bulk up during the storm. And then after the storm, they're ready to eat again. And that topwater is, it's just an amazing time for a topwater plug.
Well, cool. I just, you know, I've been having people tell me for years about, you know, fishing before the storm and all that. And it's very rare you hear of somebody who's genuinely excited about being out after the storm. And that's kind of cool.
Well, you know, 10 years ago when Charlie came through and went back out, I got out probably 2 weeks after it was passed. I just needed a break and from Punta Gorda. So I had chainsawed my boat out from underneath trees, and we went and threw it in. Of course, we weren't getting bait or anything. We were driving around and looking at all the stuff out there, but we started throwing artificial topwater. And I'm in and out of Burnt Storm Marina, so I was down that area. And just off the outside of the bar, we jumped. I had some people from Georgia came down to help me with the house and stuff, the walkers. And we started jumping tarpon on topwater skitter walks.
Really?
Now, we weren't landing them because we were just throwing to see what, just to throw a bait just to see what was going on while we're drifting around and talking. And sure enough, we started jumping, you know, 150 plus pound tarpon. So we play with that
phone, or is it my
phone?
That's
my phone.
Oh, okay. Because I just was wondering, you know, I kept hearing that noise.
I turned the elephant off. It's just buzzing now.
Yeah, no problem. So that's actually pretty cool. And anyway, we're kind of running a little bit onto this, but so I guess you're all excited about this. Tell people. I lost my train of thought here. I'm trying to do three things at once. Tell people how they can get a hold of you. Do you have any open days here in the next week or two?
I don't have my calendar or my book with me. I do have. I always make room, and I can always accommodate with some guys that work with me too. You know, we work together with people, and I'm taking a lot of locals this time of year that you know, can go in the morning and not in the afternoon, and vice versa. So I have a lot of days open. You can reach me at my cell phone's probably the best way to reach me, and that would be area code 941-628-4687. Or you can always come into Fishing Frank and ask for me, and they'll turn you on to me. And I'm also on the website at fishbonecharters@aol.com.
Wow, an AOL.com.
Why, AOL.
Boy, that's been around a while. Yeah, that's been
that
around
shows,
a while.
Well, I have Fishbone Charters at Outlook, and I have fishbonecharters at AOL.com. And you can go to Fishbone Charters, which is my website. And anyhow,
yeah,
you can also reach me on Facebook. You can reach me on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. Either any media, Fishbone Charters, Tom Fisher, Punta Gorda.
Yeah,
you got me.
All right. Well, this is Fish and Frank and Radio Fishing, and I hope you guys have enjoyed the last bit with Captain Tom Fisher. Kind of some cool stuff going on. Great time for topwaters. Great time if you're sitting around, let's say you're over on the East Coast and you want to avoid some of the weather. Come on over, book Tom for a trip, or just bring your boat over and go fishing. We'll help you with where to go and what to do. But it's going to be, I agree with you. I'm not sure I understand the whole after the storm thing, but I know the next few days are going to be pretty great, and the weather's going to be bad on the east coast of Florida. If you're listening from over there, might be a good time for a weekend trip over to Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, and come on over and have a good time. If you're in Minnesota or Wisconsin, probably not going to make it, but you know, we feel bad for you. Although the weather up there, I think, is pretty good.
I believe everybody's having good weather out there.
Well, I hope everybody's having good weather and everybody's safe. And this is Fish and Frank and Captain Tom Fisher. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the next Radio Fishing. Bye bye.